So this is going to be one of those, thank you, sir, one of those smorgasbord sermons. I have a few things in it. This, what's on my heart to kind of talk to you. You know, we are really blessed to be here at Word of Life. So David, I do appreciate that. David gave me the called American Gospel. Yeah, I can only stomach an hour of it. It is really rough to look at when you just see what's going on in the world. And when you are locked into the things of God, or when you are really developing a real, real relationship with God, and you see his name being misused, his word abused, the people of God being really lied to and taken advantage of, it's just hard to watch. It really is. I mean, and JR would tell me, and I would half hear it and just keep it moving because I really didn't want to hear. But you know how time one preacher came in on a you know, levitated in through a, you know, one guy drove in on a. I mean, they just kind of showed clips of the entertainment of. I mean, it's just this so this. They drove a car down the middle of the sanctuary, just entertaining. This is not about entertainment. I know you know that, but it really is. And he gave it to me. He said, you know, because he said, this is how you believe or how you teach or something of that nature. And I want you to see this. Because in there, those who, not debunk, but who
start.
Yeah. Well, now I'm trying to think of the ones who were for, they were who, like, say, hey, man, this is no good. I forgot the word I want to use, but they were, you know, there was the John Pipers and there was Paul Washer and Steve with the high voice, Steve Lawson, those guys who spoke out on for, you know, that this is not right. The gospel is being distorted. And the thing about it is, my good people, those are the extreme coming in on bikes and things. But the first part of that CD opened up, talked about Christians who, supposed Christians, who go to church all day long and really don't know who God is. I'm not talking about the real craziness. I'm talking about just go to church every Sunday. And that's why I tell you, I don't say it as much now as I did when we first started Word of Life. You ought to attend church with a purpose. And that purpose must be something that is to glorify God, to learn more of him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's not about because I'm here. It's what my grandma did. It's not about because it's Sunday. It's not about me go get, you know, let me go get a recipe to get out of this rut in my life. It's not about that. You know, one of the pastors said he preached a sermon. You know, he was teaching on the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, no, the blesseds. And he said he took that sermon and taught on how to be sexually pure. Well, I mean, that's cool, but man, you really take away from what Jesus was talking about. And what he's talking about is that you got to go inward to live life truly before God. I mean, it's cool to be sexually pure. That is the commandment. But when he came to the knowledge of the error of his ways, he's like, man, he said, I will never teach like that again. We stay in the book. I don't have to come up with some fancy sermon, you know, like, you know, people writing things out. Oh man, I ought to put that in the sermon. Because you hear a good saying on TV or somebody walk by you or you see something on a billboard. You got to try to look for things to put into a sermon. Man, that's all in the Word of God. You have to get in there, dig into there, and then pull that out. Another thing, he said, you know, when you don't, Jesus is an every book of the Bible. He may not, the word, the name Jesus, and I should say the Son of God, God the Son, the second member, if you will, of the Trinity, is in every book of the Bible. When you don't point back to the things of God in the Word of God, and you end up being the object of the sermon, you already know you need to run from that preacher. Because it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about us. Our brothers and sisters here in America are in deep trouble. We know that already, but they're in deep trouble. When we say pray for the body of Christ, we've been saying for years, I mean, we need to really step up our prayers. And when I tell you, when I get real exercise up here, and I have done that for years and years, it's because there's great damage being done to the body of Christ. And it is the will of God that we're here. Really no goodness of our own. We too could have been the millions all over the world who are caught up in a truncated or false or L-I-T-E gospel. Man, this dude had came out of gangs and Lord saved him and you carrying a Bible around, and a guy say, hey man, you carrying a Bible around him, you know what's in it? He said, no, teach me. And he said, my man came to him with the prosperity gospel. I just dropped my head. But thank God the Lord called him out of that. But that's who came across his path first, was somebody who came to him with the prosperity gospel. We need to know this word and be ready at a moment's notice to give it to somebody else. I'm not talking about chapter and verse. I'm talking about you, Word of Life. We need to know the concepts of Scripture enough to say, hey man, it ain't about you. You can't save yourself. You can't do it, man. I'm hoping, I don't know. I feel I'm serious about being a pastor, and I'm serious about being a teaching pastor. So I look closely at, man, when I hear stuff, I'm know my sentences are broken here, but I want you all to know two things amongst a million other things that's come to me, and that is to know why you're a Christian. And to know what the gospel is. I said it's going to be a smorgasbord. I want you to know why you're a Christian. Not that you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. People can answer that. Are you a Christian? Yes. In the second half, why? We get lost. What's the gospel? I hope we know here. But I want to give you some summaries. We've taught them what the gospel is, but it's not. We've taught that here. Talk about Christian, what a Christian is, what it's not. Went over things that, you know, you can do all these things. It does not mean you're a Christian. But I want to make sure that you know that you know that you are a Christian and that you know why you're a Christian and you can articulate that to somebody else with clarity. Nothing on that was... Folk didn't know why they were Christian. They didn't know even how to explain the gospel. And somebody come to you and you don't know the gospel, don't know how to explain it, or talk about maybe some really natural concept, they walk around, man, well, you ain't no better than me. That's what my mother said. This dude, the preacher don't know more. He don't know much more than I do. You're a Christian, yes. Why are you a Christian? That can come in many forms, why? But what you are to never say or what you ought to never do, is to recite your good works. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't curse. Never do that. That's a telltale sign that you have not been taught what being a Christian is. It's not what you do or what you did. Now, as a result of being a Christian, you are to live a sanctified life, but that does not make you a Christian. So some of the answers ought to be things like, my sins have been forgiven. I am no longer under the wrath of God. I've been redeemed, and break that word down, being reconciled back to God. Jesus died for my sins. He died the death I should have died, because the penalty for my sin was death. So I'm saved, I'm a Christian, because he made me one. Nothing you did. And that's just a truncated version. You can get into even more elaborate things if they're listening and you got the time and things like that. You know, because really, I'm just a love gift to Jesus from God. And it's all about him. Going to that. Has nothing to do with me. Sin demands death. Sin demands payment, because the holiness of God demands that somebody pay for this sin. Amen. God is so holy that not one sin is going to go unpunished. That's what you want to tell them. I love the part about the good. You know, are you good? Oh, I'm a good person. Really, you're a good person. Yeah, I'm a good person. Yeah, what about 10 commandments? Oh, I keep them all. Just like the rich young ruler. Oh, really? You keep them all? Oh, so you never lied before? Oh, yeah, I've lied. How many lies you? Oh, to me, didn't count. Okay, you never stolen? Oh, yeah, I've stolen. Yeah. Have you had sex outside of marriage? So you are lying, stealing. Guess you're not good, huh? Then the guy says, that's the case. Are you going to heaven or hell? I'm going to be hell. Now, at this point, I've been confused. I'm just going to be honest with you. Been a 19-year pastor. Been walking the Lord for over 30 years. And I'm just going to be real honest with you. I believe I'm clear. So let me say that. I'm still not clear. I believe I'm clear, but because of tradition, I'm guessing. Still before the Lord about presenting the gospel in a sense. Because that right there, my man said, okay, yeah, well, maybe I'm going to hell. At that point, tradition says, well, then pray with me, repent of your sin, and some of you go so far as to say, and you'll do this and you'll be saved. But I understand salvation. That can't, y'all got to raise. I don't know. I'm gonna say, well, man. I may say, well, I don't know what to say after that. You know, you can't save yourself. Hope the Lord save you. You know, that's where. And I'm just not gonna just give into tradition. And so, therefore, I don't know if I'm confused or just because tradition has been so strong under all the years I've been around church, 59 years, that it's just causing something inside of me. Because you can't save anybody. You can't convince anybody to be saved. What you've done to that young buck is that you got them to point out their sin, that they're a sinner. Like, okay, well, I'm not good. Yeah, because only God is good. And only God can save. Realize that, young man. And maybe walk away. I'll pray with you. Lord, save him in Jesus' name. Let him come to the knowledge of the truth. Maybe that's the answer. Never think you can convince anybody to be saved. And to be honest with you, you can go through your thing like he did, which is really good. What's good? No, okay, all right. And saying, yeah, that's good. But in the long run, only God can bring that heart, prick that heart, and bring life to that person.
Amen.
Okay, so having said that, but we need to understand then what the gospel is. We need to understand then that, realize that what the gospel is and what salvation is are going to be really, really one and the same in a sense. Because of the fact that salvation is being saved. And then if someone asks you, you're saved? Saved from what? What are you going to say to them? Don't answer. That's okay. Maybe some of that falls on me too. The answer is you're saved from the wrath of God. You're saved from eternal damnation. That's what happened. Because we, mankind, should have received hell. Eternal damnation. When somebody comes up to you and they're kind of reciting their goodness and things of that nature, you want to probe into things like, well, what is good? Where did you get the standard of good? Where did good come from? What are you talking about when you say I'm a good person? In that show, in that CD, they cut to a segue on The View. And one of the ladies was saying, yeah, I'm a good person. You keep 10 commandments? Oh, yeah. She's like, oh, yeah. Just like my man. Oh, I keep all 10. So you never lie to you? Oh, whoa. You know, just have to. But the lady sitting next to her asking, what is good? I'm like, that's the question. They didn't answer. What's the standard of goodness? That's what we have to understand. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he called him good. Jesus recognized you're using that term out of context. He didn't say that, but he just tried to point him to the right, which is there's no one good but God. God is the standard. You're not saved because you do good things, think good thoughts, do external things. Like one preacher said, that hell is filled with people who don't smoke, who do not drink, who did not cheat on their wife, who do good deeds. Hell is full of those people. And that's scary. You can't work your way into heaven.
Amen.
That's not the gospel. They used to call Catholicism the plus religion. God, it was Christ plus sacraments or something. It was the scripture plus tradition. And it was faith plus this and something else plus that. The plus religion. And in response to the plus religion, the reformers said, no, that's what all the solas come from. Christ, grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, for the glory of God alone. No plus. Be equipped. Know what the gospel is. The gospel, yes, it's good news, but what's the good news? What exactly is the good news? That Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he saved us. It always starts with God and ends with God. Always start with Jesus, end with Jesus through the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. Always, only, always, always.
Amen.
The good news of the gospel is that Jesus shed his blood for me. I was his enemy. And he allowed me to be seated at his table. He, the master, died for the slaves. That's crazy. Well, let them talk that to a black person. That'll trip them up. There is much confusion out there. There is much blasphemy happening out there. It is extremely disturbing. When I could get through the first hour of it, I'm just thanking God. And of course, there was much reflection. Because as a pastor, I take my job very seriously. Amen. I'm like, well, how informed is Word of Life in these matters? Can they discern and discriminate when they see that which is not true. Not only the obvious stuff, but the subtle things. How well has your people been taught here, Word of Life, Father God? There was much inventory on my part before God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 lets me know, let us know that I am to equip the saints. That's my job, to equip you so that you can go out and do the work of the ministry and uplift and build up the body of Christ. Was that the right verse, David? Ephesians 4, I said 13.
Well, to equip the saints.
Yeah, 12. Thank you. Any question or comments, or I need to make sure you understand. Understand your role here on earth. It's not for you. You're not here for you. I'm not here for me. It's to bring him glory. Are we equipping ourselves to do that? Are we ready? And I'm really talking about the apologetic segment of our assignment. We ought to be ready to give an answer. It was just disheartening that when people go to a so-called Christian, they can't get a straight answer. That's disturbing. Who else you gonna go to? You gonna go to the center? Talk about Mr. Chris. You know, he's trying to figure this thing out. This knuckleheaded deacon telling him some crazy stuff. Think about the Latino brother just got out the gangs, and you come with prosperity gospel. You're not. It's very little is to do with Jesus in that gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying, Word of Life?
Yes, sir.
If there's any confusion, I need you to let me know right now. We can help this out. Any comments you want to make? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We know it. They don't know it. You come with big words, whatever. I tell you about when I was doing the mortgage thing, when I made the plans to that person, that deal.
Yes, sir.
Just because I know it don't mean they know it. You gotta
break it down. Yeah.
This is mature, just, you know, it starts here, they felt it.
Yes, sir.
They hit another whack.
Right. Everything. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point about, you know, they don't know it. That's why they're coming. I'm coming, Mr. Nees. They don't know it. When they come to you, we all better explain it. Some way, shape, or form. Yes. Remember we said... The ministry, teach the word of God, the ministry, the goal of this teaching ministry is, yes, for you to understand it, to live it out, mm-hmm. first and foremost, but it's also to love, understand it, to teach it to somebody else.
Amen.
And then defend it when you need to.
Amen.
And in this world, boy, you better be ready to defend it, because they're coming at you really strong.
Yep.
And also, not only coming at you really strong, but there are people really hungry that's also going to come at you. People are starving out here.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am, Mr. Needs.
And also, we need to teach them that even though we're redeemed and it's all through the glory of God, when we become saved, for us to become more Christ-like and learning his ways, but also to sit down and count the cost, because it's not just a few words that are said, but it is a lifestyle.
Absolutely. 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 Very good point.
Because people are deceived by false teachers.
That's right.
And if they think that all I have to do is say a few words and I'm saved, but then the lifestyle doesn't change, then there's a lot of people who are deceived and aren't really saved.
Yeah. Yeah, and we talk about that all the time. Very good point. And all also on that, they talked about, yeah, Jesus going heal me about this or take care of that. Yeah, I want that Jesus. You just tell him what you want. Yeah, well, Jesus going to do this for you. Jesus going to do this for you. Yeah, I want that Jesus. You know, the altar call at the church I came from was, you know, how many want to miss out on hell and make heaven your home? Who wouldn't raise your hand on that? There was no call to a lifestyle. There was no call to count the cost. It's one of the early sermons we preached in the early 2000s. Count the cost. There's a cost to being a disciple.
Amen. Thank you.
Someone else. Get your hand up. I thought it's a...
I was trying to think of the scripture that I believe this is a commandment that we'll always be willing to give. Response for the faith.
That's the defense. Yeah, that's the word, apologia. Yeah, that's be ready to give an answer. Yeah.
This isn't.
That's where that comes.
You're not trying to get us to do something that you want us to do, but this is something that God has commanded
us to do. Yeah, very good. And it's my responsibility to equip you so that you obey that command.
Yeah.
You follow that? That's what we want to do. So when, as I keep saying, I don't work where you work, but you're there. And what an opportunity that you all are in various places. And thank God Almighty that we're being equipped in Jesus' name to that when people do come, and we're able to give an answer, to explain this thing. Because the world's hope is getting worse and worse. So you tell me about this Jesus. Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you think you're saved? Who is this guy?
Our children are dying on a daily basis because they're hopeless. They don't even get to adulthood to be able to try and figure things out.
Yeah. Suicide is at an all-time high. Parenting is disappearing.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. Judy?
The most opposition conversations with Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the others that I come in contact with, they're ready to listen. But what does that mean? They're ready to hear. But the ones who's like,
alert from calendar.
I'm not sure if I'll be
Sam's Club, Bill.
And she said, oh, don't put that out there. I said, no, I might not be feeling well. Like, I don't feel well yet. Yo, you can't put that out there. Because it might come true. I said, no, I've been saying I want to go to heaven for over 20 years, and I'm still here, so that cannot be so. I said, he's talking about the Word of God. You have what you say, talking about the Word. The next book.
Yeah, but even on that... Realize too, when you run into those, you have what you say. Realize they're taking the bottom third of that verse. They've disconnected from the first and second third of that verse, taking it away from the verse right before, which says have faith in God, and then disconnected from the entire chapter. I was in that big time. We're not powerful enough to have what we say. I don't care what it is. Yeah, we can't call into, you know, we'll call into exist things that are not, you know, that's what God is able to do. He did not equip us to do that. That's absolutely ridiculous. But I mean, when you don't know, you're just coming in, you just figure the guy to put, but well, no, way more than me. That's where I looked at it. You know, way more than me. These are famous people coming in. You have almost all the people on that CD that they mentioned about the Word Faith Movement. they came to Word of Faith regularly. Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Marilyn Hickey, Fred Price, on and on and on. It came regularly. So I was being just inundated with that doctrine, just flooded with it. And like I said, I would listen to it really strong more than most because I knew I was going to be a pastor. So I was really taking it in like a sponge. And it took deep root. And God had to unroot all of that. But I thank God he did. Yes, ma'am.
I used to pray several times a day, but pretty much pleadingly. You know, I really didn't. It was a prayer, but I know now that it wasn't the right kind of prayer. Mm-hmm. I just thought that if I asked him, you know, everything would be all right.
Right, right.
I didn't realize just, it was a selfish prayer. Now that I see, in hindsight, I see how selfish that was. I really didn't give much thought about praising him or anything. I really didn't comprehend the importance.
Sure.
But one thing I made sure I did was I prayed for clarity. It makes all the difference.
Amen,
in the world.
Amen.
You know, I prayed for clarity, and that's when things started to come into place. You know.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. God, as you humbled yourself to God and more to his will, he gave you what prayer to pray.
Amen.
That's powerful. Amen. And then he answers that prayer. Because see, what tends to be kind of thrown out of the way in this speak, name and claim it is, it's got to be according to his will.
Yes.
So as your prayers were being tweaked and formed and molded more to his will, then he, like, this is where I want you to be. And that's where also, again, when we're teaching others, for example, about things like prayer or what salvation truly is or what the gospel is about, when you're teaching them things like, well, for the glory of God, it's got to be the will of God. You know, as I was telling somebody about me and Melanda's 32 years, and I kept mentioning God, he's just God, huh? I say, because every sinner from God. Uh-huh. We're nobody by the grace of God, you know. Uh-huh. God's allowed us to be here for 32 years, and God's allowed us the daughters we have. Just God. Yeah. I said, this is no other way but God.
Yeah.
Yeah, God. But the pulpit is not, the American gospel hasn't got that yet. And God is telling me, is more and more disappearing. It's about personalities and showtime and having things that wow the crowd. And man, Benny Hinn was standing up in $20,000 a night suites. That's just, I mean, it's just this. It's as hard to watch that as it is to watch sex trafficking of little girls.
Yeah.
It is just that hard.
Yeah.
And I thank God it is, because the zeal of my father's house has eaten me up in a sense. When you get closer to the Lord, you get greatly offended.
Yes, yes.
When his thing is being all just disrespected, blasphemed, jacked up. You get really just blown away by that, and it's hard to stomach that.
Amen.
Versace undershirt. What kind of mess is that? My goodness.
You got to understand, the people in this world haven't been under the teaching that we've been under. They've been under deceitful teachers who taught them deception and wrong.
Absolutely.
Wrong thought processes and wrong perception. And so when they don't have what we have, we're just a small number, but if we can reach as many people and then those people reach others, then we can make a difference in this world.
Yeah, no doubt. And the good news too, though, we're not the only one. That's
Amen.
The good news.
Yeah.
You have, there are others who are teaching like we are. We are, you know, I thank God that we are in that number, but however, those numbers are decreasing, unfortunately. And that's that 2 Timothy 3 where people are going to fall away. And dangerous times are coming, and there's going to be people are falling away from the gospel. But I thank God that's why I keep telling you so hard. Keep praying for those that are continuing to believe the gospel. It's going to focus in on Christ-centered teaching, and understanding that it's all about Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul said, "I'm determined to know Christ Jesus and Him crucified."
Yes.
And by the way, another thing that the churches don't want is a crucified Jesus. Because crucifixion deals with sin. and they want to hear about sin. They don't want to crucify Jesus. They just want a nice Jesus, but not a crucified Christ. We want a nice God, not the wrath of God. Ain't nobody trying to hear all that. Yeah. Let's continue to pray for teaching ministries. It's very disturbing and it's very disappointing. Even though you know it, you see it, and know it and see it, but when you see it again and again, you know, it's unsettling. Yes, sir.
I think one of the reasons that they're able to maintain that is they don't encourage the congregation to read the Bible. So if the congregation read the Bible, I don't think they would. It would be possible for them to deceive them like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, because you know, you have to realize when they're giving pieces of scripture, it's them putting context to that rather than keeping it in the context of God. That's why when I came out of that, you speak to the Latino gangster who came out and now he's a pastor, as a matter of fact. When he heard John Piper teach for the first time, he's like, wow, this is such different teaching. Why is it so different? That's the same question I asked when I heard John MacArthur teach for the first time. Why is this teaching so different from the 9 years at Word of Faith? Why is that understanding so clear? And I couldn't get it. It was so simple. One word, context. They kept the verse in the verse, in the chapter. They kept the chapter in the book. I mean, it's really simple. Then the Lord had to teach me what had happened at Word of Faith. They were taking the chapter or the verse out of the chapter and sticking it over here and giving it a new context. They kept the chapter or the verse in the chapter. I said, this is so simple. It is so easy to understand. Instead of a piece here and a piece and a piece there. We're blessed to be under a teaching ministry. I'm blessed to be here. And I keep telling you, I told you I am a congregant just like you. I just take my seat up here.
Amen. Yeah.
But I'm listening just like you. I'm learning just like you. And the Holy Ghost is teaching us.
Amen.
Having said that, not me. The Holy Ghost is teaching us, you and me. Having said that, this has been the most influential ministry in my life, in my entire life. And I thank God for this ministry. I thank God, I said, for this ministry. Not Greg. Greg can't heal, as Bishop Bowe used to say, a gnat's wing with super glue. Can't do it. I have no power. I have no wisdom apart from God. And I thank God that in there, God brought some pastors out of that nonsense into Reformed teaching.
Yes.
And I thank God for that. Red, black, white, red, brown, yellow. Bringing them. God, Father, God, Father, God, I cry out to you. Oh, to bring damnation. Those who are blaspheming your name every Sunday and midweek in your kingdom. And continue to strengthen and uplift and edify those who dare to stand firm on your word for your glory. We've said it many times in here. It's all about you. Only about you. Always about you. Help us to remember that. Help us to remember that. I'm speaking to me too. Help us to remember that in the name of Jesus. I say that like that because I thank God for Wednesday's teaching on judging your thoughts and intentions of the heart. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I don't like being disrespected. I told you this before. But I thank God he saw me how to deal with that. I don't like that I don't like being disrespected. It's no big deal. You know, you ain't all that to be all blew out, you know. I was telling a student, you know, they got all disrespected. I said, they disrespected Jesus. It did way worse to him than a few words they just did to you. I ain't supposed to teach that. I tell you, I ain't no supposed to say that, but I'm letting you know, I don't care. Calm down. And I look at that myself, and I thank God that there was a student, he was kind of sideways, teacher rubbed him the wrong way, he just out of order, told the teacher, shut up talking to me, and just way out of order, you know. And I had to go and remove her from the class. And I tell you, the Lord was just present.
Yes.
Like, my man is disrespecting you too, because I'm in there to do, you know, when a person is emotional and you walk into an emotional situation, they don't care who's around, it just lasts out on everybody around because I'm having a moment.
Yeah.
And I just got so quiet, I just let them finish all we had to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on to the office. And I was so glad.
Yes.
I want to get over me. Am I right, Miss Earl? I need to get over me. So what if we get disrespected? It grow from it. I'm talking to me. I know y'all good and everything. You got halos and fitted halos and y'all got platinum halos but diamonds all around it. And, you know, I mean, it's some of them sing a song. Oh, wake up in the morning. I don't have none of that. I struggle with that. Man, I mean, I got to be honest. You just, you know, some days, you know, like when I was doing the study of just being honest, Jesus, doing a study of what's the black the race thing? What's the name of that one? Getting rid of the toxic sin of race or hatred. Because I saw some things that were just really hard. Just real. I did a lot of reading, and there's some days I came away like just not looking real crazy. I'm looking kind of crazy at white folks, you know. I'm like. I mean, it was some terrible things done, and some of that stuff took hours to get out of my mind. And I had to watch myself. I was like, hold on, you just kill your heart. And I ain't out calling for names and, you know, go finna fight the Klan or nothing like that, you know. But I'm like, I'm aware of this. How to be careful.
You gotta remember that's a set of people.
Yeah, but I'm just saying how the temptation. Yeah, I'm just talking about how the temptation to, you know what I'm saying, to expand beyond that is so subtle.
Yes, Lord, yes.
If you don't watch yourself, you find yourself looking crazy at folks. And God said, oh, hold on now, you feeling some type of way. Mm-hmm. Realize this. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's a great coach. He's a great coach. He's a great coach, and I thank God for that. So, amen. Let's just keep on studying, reading that word, meditating that word, doing the word. Amen. Just keep on. Just make sure we're doing that word. And let's keep bringing him the praise, glory, and honor in everything we think, speak, and do in Jesus' name. Amen. Offering.